Welcome to Live with Lon. It's so good in this new year, 2023, to have you with us. And tell your friends about our show, please. Because what do? We teach what? Come on, the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and then we apply it to our life. So if they want Bible teaching and not a bunch of fluff, tell them to watch. Now, I want to say a couple things just before we dig in and get going. First, I want to read you a little letter that I got from a real good friend of mine in Montana. Her name is Audra, and she's 7 years old. And she and her parents have been on two of our trips, the Footsteps of Paul and the Holy Land trip, and they're going to Egypt in February. My good friend Audra, 7 years old, writes, "Dear Lon, Merry Christmas. Hope you have the best Christmas ever. I love watching Live with Lon." Have a happy, jolly, Merry Christmas. Love, Audra. Look at this. Isn't this sweet? I mean, this is so sweet. I just want to put it on my heart and pin it right there. 7-year-old girl. You know, when I was in seminary, my homiletics professor, Dr. Tom Edgar, wonderful, godly man, and I owe so much to him. When he was teaching us about preaching, he said, preach on a level where junior high schoolers and elementary children can understand what you're saying, and the adults will think you're wonderful. And that's what I've always tried to do, so that a child like Audra, 7 years old, can understand what I'm saying, because Jesus always took complicated things and made them simple. Hey, anybody can take simple things and make them complicated. That doesn't take any skill. He took complex things and made them simple enough for uneducated fishermen to understand, for children to understand, and that's what I've always tried to do. Now, it's time to get to the Bible. Let's do it. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, open our hearts today to the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for the provision that you have made for Lon Solomon Ministries. Thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful people who give whatever they can, and how you've multiplied that like the widow's two mites. And Lord, I just thank you that we can use that money, that we've got a message to tell, a message of hope, a message of encouragement, a message of eternal life, a message of abundant life. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us something to buy time on the radio and say. And so, Lord, prosper and bless and energize the Word of God, not just to our hearts today, but to the who knows how many thousands of people around the country and the world are listening to the Word of God through us. And now we commit our time in the Scripture to you. In Jesus' name we pray. What do we say? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Now, we're in a study of the Gospels. And right now we're in John's Gospel, catching up to the other three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. They're up to, we went through them, and they're up to the triumphal entry. We're not up to the triumphal entry yet in John's Gospel. We don't get there till John chapter 12. So we're catching up. And today we start John chapter 10. Man, every one of these chapters has just been chock-a-block full of biblical truth, which is why we're taking our time, and we're going to take our time in John chapter 10 as well. John chapter 10 is the Good Shepherd chapter of the Gospel of John in the New Testament. In here, Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd of the sheep over and over and over again. So, yeah. So, we're using the New King James Version of the Bible, yes. What I want to do today is read the bulk of the chapter. You can follow along. We'll put it on the screen. And then we're going to come back and talk about it, okay? But I want us to hear it in its in toto, so we really get the flavor of what Jesus is saying here. So follow along. I'm in John chapter 10, and I'm beginning at verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will by no means follow, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them, verse 7 again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep, but I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, the Jewish fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, my life, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? John chapter 9. Now, it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you make us doubt? If you are the Christ, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, all these miracles, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them, snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Wow, what a passage. Oh my gosh. Amazing, amazing. Now, we can't tackle this whole passage in one message. There's too much. But I wanted you to feel this good shepherd imagery throughout this chapter. Now, let's go back. We're going to start this week taking it apart. And what I want to do this week is I want to point out to you all the things, first of all, that the Good Shepherd does for us. Okay, look with me. We're going to run through this quickly, but you can always rewind this if I'm going too fast. Number one, let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. The Good Shepherd calls his sheep. Look at this. Verse 3. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. First thing he does is he calls his sheep. I don't care whether you're a Arminian, you're a Calvinist, or you're something in between. The Bible's clear that God calls people and no one can come to God unless he calls them. I'm not 100% sure how that plays into everything, but I thank God that he called me. And look, it says he called me. And if you know Christ, he called you, look at verse 3, by name. This is not some kind of impersonal call that Jesus just throws out to the whole world at once. No, no. This is a personal call. He calls you. Yes, he did. He called you by name. He said, Lon, come to me. He said, Susie, come to me. He said, George, come to me by name. Look how personal this is. And he says that again down in verse 27. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He knows you personally. He called you personally. Number three, not only does God call the sheep, Jesus called the sheep, and not only does he personally know the sheep, and we enter into a personal connection with him, but number three, he guides the sheep. Look at verse three. It says he calls his sheep and he leads them out. He goes before them and they follow him. Look at verse 4. They go before him. He goes before them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. What does this mean? It means he leads them. He just doesn't push the sheep. He leads the sheep, which means he leads you. He says to you, this is the way. You hear a voice behind you, the book of Isaiah says, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Isn't that beautiful? God guides us, so we're not trying to make our way through the wilderness all by ourselves. Not only does he guide us, my friends, but he protects us. Look at this. He leads the sheep. He goes before the sheep. So in case they meet a bear or a wolf, he's in the front. He's not in the back. He's in the front to protect them. He says that again. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He who's a hireling runs away, Jesus said, but I am the good shepherd, verse 14, and I know my sheep, and I am known by them, and therefore my Father loves me, verse 17, because I lay my life down in the protection of the sheep. How great is it to have God himself as our protector? So, he calls his sheep, and number two, he guides his sheep. Number three, he knows his sheep. Number four, he protects his sheep. Number five, he gives abundant life to his sheep. Look at verse 10. It says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Friend, I don't care how abundant your life may be before you come to Christ. You come to Christ and it'll be more abundant because Jesus will be in your life, and even when we go through the hard times, the joy and the grace he gives makes even the hard times not take away the abundance of the life he gives us. All right, number six, he unifies his sheep. Look at verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He unifies his sheep around himself. And finally, look back at at John chapter 10. Look with you would at verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Not only does he do all these other things for the sheep, but he gives eternal life to the sheep, that they don't only have an abundant life here, but they have an abundant life in eternity on the other side of the grave. Wow, the Good Shepherd. He takes care of his sheep. And if you, through faith in Christ, are one of his sheep, he does all these things for you. He leads you. He guides you. He protects you. He gives you abundant life. He knows you by name. You're in a personal connection with him. He gives you eternal life. All of these things that he does are things he does for you and me and all who know him. Okay, now that's wonderful, but I want to go back now that we've gotten an overview of the Good Shepherd and his ministry to us, and I want to look at a few of these verses in particular, because some of the greatest verses in the Bible are in this section we just read. So, for the next couple weeks, we're going to focus on the Good Shepherd and on various aspects of his ministry and his care for us. All right, but first we have to ask our most important question. So you ready? Come on now, here we go. Nice and loud. One, two, three, come on. So what? Yes. You say, Lon, I read all of that. So what? Well, the first so what is we're here in a brand new year with the Good Shepherd together with us. And you know what that means? What does that mean? It means what? It means, as Jackie says, he says it, how sweet it is. We say it, how sweet it is. So let's say it together. Ready? One, two, three. How sweet it is. Baby, yes. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, what's the takeaway? What's the not a sermon, just a thought nugget from all of this? Well, today, I want to focus on verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all. Satan himself, even. And no one, look at this, not Satan himself, is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. But where I want us to focus is verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, my friends, this is one of the greatest verses in the Bible for eternal security. For the idea, the word eternal security is never actually used in the Bible, but it's our way of saying that once you're born again and Jesus gives you eternal life and you become a child of God, you cannot do anything, nothing, to lose your adoption, to lose your eternal life, to lose your place in heaven. This is what we call the doctrine of eternal security. Now, some people have a real problem with this because they read in Matthew chapter 12 about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable sin, and they read in Hebrews chapter 6 about not being able to be restored to repentance if you walk away from the gospel message. And they say, see there, you can lose your salvation. Sorry. No, that's not what those chapters are talking about. You say, how can you be so sure? Friends, one of the greatest principles of interpreting scripture, that's what we call hermeneutics, the science of interpreting, in this case, scripture. One of the greatest principles, listen to me, is we interpret scripture by scripture, meaning that if we come across a passage that is a little bit mysterious and unclear, how do we interpret it and figure out what it says? Well, not by taking it like a piece of spaghetti and throwing it up on the wall to see if it sticks. And everybody stands around and goes, I don't know. What do you think it means? No, no. We take the Bible and we go to other passages in the Bible and we use those other passages to interpret the unclear passage. We interpret the unclear passage by the passages that are clear. So, do I know for sure what Hebrews 6 means exactly? I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure he's talking to unbelieving Jewish people there. Do I know for sure what the unpardonable sin in Matthew chapter 12 is? No, I'm pretty sure it's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is unbelief. The only sin that's unforgivable is unbelief. But even if I don't know what those mean, I know what they can't mean. Listen to me. I may not know for sure what a verse means, but I know by comparing scripture with scripture what it can't mean. And those verses in Matthew 12 and Hebrews 6 can't mean that you lose your salvation. Why? Because John chapter and 1 Corinthians 3, but John chapter 10, and they will never perish. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. Listen, if there's anything you could do, anything to lose your salvation and lose your eternal life, Jesus could not say never here. He could say almost never. He could say maybe never. He could say for the most part, never. He could say, I hope never. But he can't just say never if there's anything you could do, anything to lose your salvation. So you look here, my friend, and you listen to me. Once you truly trust Christ, once you're truly born again, once you truly are adopted in the family of God, once you truly become a child of God, once you truly are given eternal life by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you become one of his sheep, your eternal destiny is settled forever. I give them eternal life, John 10:28, and they shall never perish. Friends, look at me. You didn't do anything to get your salvation. Jesus did it all. And therefore, you can't do anything to lose your salvation. It's all by the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? John chapter 10, I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. So all of you who've been worried that you've lost your eternal life or somebody else has, now, listen, a lot of people that we think are saved probably aren't. I'm talking about people who truly come to Christ. And there are a lot of people who look like they've come to Christ, but Jesus is going to say to them, the Sermon on the Mount, depart from me, I never knew you. You did this for me, you did that for me, you did the other thing, but I never knew you. But people who truly come to Christ and are bearing fruit for God, nothing you can do, so relax. Enjoy your eternal life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful chapter. Thank you for this wonderful verse, verse 28. Thank you for this wonderful promise that we can never, ever lose our eternal life and our place in heaven once we truly are saved and we come to Christ. Lord Jesus, we love you so much for calling us. Lord Jesus, we love you so much for leading and guiding us and going before us and protecting us. We love you so much, Lord Jesus, for being our good shepherd. And we love you so much that no one can ever snatch us once we come to Christ out of your hand, not even the devil himself. Lord Jesus, encourage our faith today with these wonderful truths. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and wow, wow, wow. And enjoy your eternal life today. Bye now.